This is Alive with Joseph.
Welcome home. It's good to have you here. Amen. It's time to go into God's Word. You know, I remember there was a time I was teaching my son to ride his bicycle, you know, and you know, you need to push him, you need to hold him, you need to make sure that he gets it right. So, you know, I think Pastor Joseph does that with us, you know. We're taken out of our comfort zone, but it's for the greater good. It's for the gospel, it's for the kingdom, amen. That's why we love Alive Church, amen. For the greater good, for the gospel, for the kingdom. Well, this morning we will be looking at the title, Stubborn Faithfulness. Turn to somebody and say, Stubborn Faithfulness. We'll be looking at part C in the series of Stubborn Faithfulness. Let's open our Bibles to the book of 3 John chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 2 to 4 in the NIV translation. It reads as follows, verse 2 to 4, 3 John chapter 1. It says, Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Verse 3 says, It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. So in the scripture here, we see that the Apostle John writes about and to an elder in the early church. His name was Gaius, encouraging the entire church with this elder. He is saying about this elder that he is committed to the truth. He is faithful to the truth. So the teachings or the things that John writes about in this epistle actually reflect the perfect will of God for each of us as children of God. Because God expects you and I to be faithful to the truth, to be committed to the truth, to the end. You know, the book of Hebrews talks about a lot of heroes of the faith. Some of them did not come into the promises that God had given them, but they remained faithful to the end. They believed that God was able to do it. I don't know about you, but if there was a furnace over there and they said, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Rams, come here. I'd be very concerned. But the truth is that God expects of you and I to be faithful to the truth, to be committed, that even if my name is called to say, there's a fiery furnace over there, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Rams, come, get into the fiery furnace. We should be faithful to the truth. Turn to somebody and say, faithful to the truth. So those are the teachings that the Apostle John teaches us here. So the things that John writes about as inspired by the Holy Spirit reveal the heart of God. Turn to somebody and say, reveal the heart of God. They reveal the heart of God concerning our Christian life in the earth. So that we should experience good health is the will of God. That we would, that all would go well with us and that we would prosper. That is the will of God. Please say this, I experience good health. All goes well with me and I prosper. Please say it again. I experience good health. All goes well with me and I prosper. Now look at verse 3. What verse 3 says is that testimonies were heard about the elder Gaius. So things were heard about him to say your faithfulness and commitment to the truth is how he walks in the truth. So what do we talk about when we talk about the truth? The truth of God's word cuts through the lies of the enemy, the lies of the world and the lies of others. So the truth of God's word cuts through what we think is reality. The Bible says that when he, the Spirit of, I think it's John chapter 6, maybe verse 63, I didn't include it here, but it says that when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will lead you into all truth. Another explanation of that word truth over there is the word reality. So when the Spirit of God comes, he will lead you into all reality. The things we see with our eyes might seem like reality, but the spirit world is more real than the world we see with our eyes. Because we know, according to Hebrews, that the world that we see with our eyes was created by things that are not seen, right? But we'll come to that at a later stage. So in Stubborn Faithfulness Part 3, which I'm sure you were here when Pastor Joseph taught about it, touched on a very interesting element. He said the following words. He said that truth is truth even if you're not experiencing it yet. Truth remains truth even if you are not experiencing it yet. You see, as children of God, sometimes we think because we are not experiencing truth that it is not truth. But truth remains truth. Please say this. Truth is truth even if I'm not experiencing it yet. Truth remains truth, even if I am not experiencing it yet. So the truth remains the truth. God's word is true. Look at something else that Pastor said in that series. He said that if you hold on to the truth will eventually change the fact. The fact may be that you are broke. The fact may be that you don't have a job. The fact may be that you are unhappy about a situation. That's the fact, but it's not the truth. Turn to somebody, encourage them, and tell them it's not the truth. Turn to somebody else and encourage them, tell them it's not the truth. Look at what John 17:17 says. It says, sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. John 17, we actually see that Jesus is praying for the church. And he prays for you and I and says, sanctify them by truth, praying to God. And he says, your word is truth. The interesting thing is that the word truth in both scriptures, right? This scripture that we read in John 17:17 and the scripture that we read, said John chapter 1, verse 2 to 3. The word in both in the Greek is the word aletheia, right? It means what is true in any matter under consideration. So it is the truth under whatever is a consideration. So, for example, if you come into a court of law, right? They try to test what is fact. They try to test what is truth. Both sides will give their side of the story. But the interesting thing about the word of God is that it is true no matter what is considered. So when you and I stand in the court of life, whatever the devil comes against us with, which is a lie, the word of God will stand true. Because the word of God is tried and tested. Child of God, the word of God is not 50 years old. The word of God is not 80 years old. The word of God is not 20 years old. Remember, you and I might be 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old. The word of God is not 30. The word of God is not 50. The word of God is all, it's tried and tested. Turn to somebody and say, it's tried and tested. Somebody might say, it does not make sense. What are you telling us? To say that I must tithe 10% of my income and I remain with 90%. No, my common sense tells me that if I remain with 100%, I can do more. But the word of God is tried and tested in the area of tithing. That if you give your 10%, God will bless the 90% and it will go further than the 100%. So as children of God, sometimes we think about it and we try to argue with the truth of the word of God to say, how can that be true? But let God be true and every man a liar. Turn to somebody and say, God is true. Turn to somebody and say, God's word is truth. Turn to somebody else and say, God's word is truth. Child of God, please understand that there is no other truth than God's word. Let that sink in. There's no other truth. No other truth in this world than God's word. So in any matter under consideration, the word of God will hold true. The word of God is what will prevail. So people may say that they have discovered this truth or other truth, but if it is not in line with God's word, it will not pass the test of God's word. Because we hear about many truths these days. You know, people write about, no, this is my truth. You know, if you don't speak the truth of God's word, you know, you feel like, oh, no, I know my thing. You know, now this is my truth. Nobody else can tell me whatever. But the word of God should be what holds true. So you should know, child of God, that whatever is outside of God's word, if it's not in alignment with the word of God, it is not true. Turn to somebody and say, it is not true. Because sometimes we consider it the truth, but it is not true. So it is not truth. Because at some stage, it will be proven false. The word of God will not be proven false. The word of God will continue to be proven true over and over again. So you and I, as children of God, need to be careful to ensure that we build our lives on God's truth. That's what we need to do, build our lives on His word and apply His principles. So what does this mean for us practically? What it means is that we need to build our lives in business, in career, in ministry, in marriage, in family, in life, in our studies, in our finances, on the truth of God's word. So whatever we do needs to be in line with God's word. Turn to somebody and say, it needs to be in line with God's word. So, say to somebody, I am faithful to apply God's truth in all situations. So then we ask ourselves, children of God, that how do we execute this practically, right? How do you do this in such a way that it is practical in our lives? The first thing that we need to do is that we need to be faithful and we need to be committed to pray God's will. So firstly, we need to pray God's will into the earth. Pray God's will into the earth. So when we pray God's will because we know the truth of God's word. Matthew chapter 6 verse 10 says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So the importance of us as children of God is that we need to ensure that we pray God's will into the earth. Say this, I pray God's will into the earth. In the contemporary English version, it actually says this, come and set up your kingdom. So Matthew chapter 6 verse 10, the contemporary English version, it says, come and set up your kingdom so that everyone on earth will obey you as you are obeyed in heaven. I think there's no question that God is obeyed in heaven. We agree with that, right? I mean, God doesn't say, I want to bless rams, and then the angels say, no, put it in a memo, God, you know. Put it as an agenda item. We'll talk about it. In heaven, God's will is not questioned, right? So your responsibility and mine in this earth is to ensure that we enforce God's will in the earth. Listen to what it says. The contemporary English version says, so that everyone on earth will obey you. It is God's will that everyone on earth will obey him, that his will be done. Jesus was telling his disciples this. He says, pray and say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Child of God, the question then becomes, are you and I praying that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven? For example, if you need a job, it is your responsibility to pray the will of God into the earth. If you want to see your business doing well, your career doing well, it is your responsibility to pray the will of God into the earth. Now, praying God's will is not wishful thinking. We need to enforce it because there are powers and principalities that work against what we pray for. But Jesus has dethroned them. They are unable to stand because the truth of God's word is what should prevail. So God has given you and I as saints the responsibility to ensure that no one questions his will on the earth. So it is your responsibility, it is mine, to make sure that nobody questions God's will on the earth. You know, sometimes people will question God's will about your life. People will tell you that you will not prosper, you will not do well, you will not do this, that, and the other, right? And so when such words are spoken against you, child of God, you do not sit down and take it. When evil words are spoken about you or over you, you don't sit down and take it. So it is not up to us to just say, no, it's fine what people say when it is contrary to God's word. God says that I will bless you in the city and I will bless you in the country. So we need to understand that wherever the soles of our feet tread, God has given us authority in that place. So children of God, it is your responsibility. It is mine to ensure that the will of God is enforced. The important word is the word enforced. You need to enforce it. Even if somebody feels that you are a nobody, you are a nothing, you need to enforce it. If somebody feels that, no, this business will not go far, it is your responsibility to enforce it. And how do we enforce it? By praying the will of God into the earth, speaking what we want to see. That's why morning prayers is important. That's why when pastor makes declarations, I mean, I remember I used to come into services, and when pastor makes declaration, I'll be like, yeah, that's me. You know, it is not just something that is uttered and I'm here for the vibes, you know, I was in church, it was nice. We are at war, and we need to understand that we are at war, because if you are at war and you are relaxed, you're going to have problems, child of God. You're going to think that everything is fine. So look at what Matthew chapter 18 verse 18 says in the Amplified Classic Edition. It says, truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. Ah, guys, I like that word already. Already. You know, Christ's work is finished. It's done. The Bible says he sat down at the right hand of the Father. So that word already means that your next level is already permitted. It is not a debate. It is not a question. So what we need to do as children of God is to commit to the truth. To say this is the truth of God's word, and therefore we need to enforce. Say this, my next level is already permitted. Say it like you believe it. My next level is already permitted. Say it one more time. My next level is already permitted. So what is important, child of God, is that we need to pray the will of God. So when we pray scripture, that I am the first and not the last. I am above only. You know, Pastor Cody said this during midweek service, right? That I am above only. So you need to enforce that only. To say, not, I'm not just above sometimes. I'm not just above some of the time. I am above only. Turn to somebody and say, do you understand the meaning of only? You know, I can see some guys, I'm like, ah, no, no, I won't say that, but it's cool, you know. But we are, the word of God says, I am above only. So the situation might not look like I'm above only. Oh, but I'm not led by what I see. Because I do not walk by sight. I walk by faith. We need to learn to walk by faith. Walking by faith doesn't mean that it's going to feel good all the time. But what it does mean is that I will walk by what I know to be the truth of God's word. So whatever is spoken in the word of God is mine. And then the second thing that we need to look at in order to do this practically is to commit to God's word. Turn to somebody and say, commit to God's word. So our faithfulness should be stubborn to the place where we are committed to the word of God. Hebrews 1 says, from verse 1 to verse 3, it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, right? Has in these days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he has made the worlds. Verse 3 says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So God's word made the worlds. What you and I see with our eyes today was made by God's word. So it talks to the potency of God's word. God's word is potent. God's word is not just something that we speak to make ourselves feel good. When scripture is spoken on Sunday, when the word is preached on Sunday, it's not there to make us feel good. It is not there to just comfort us and say, okay, fine, you'll have another good week. We hope you do. No, it's so that we enforce it to say, this is what we want to see. Say this, I use God's word to shape my world. Say it again, I use God's word to shape my world. So it is important, child of God, that you and I shape our world. You know, it's like when you have clay in your hands, what do you do with it? You shape it. So God's word is important for us to shape our world. What do you want to see with your eyes in your current world? I don't know your world, but God does. And he has given you the word to say, use this to shape your word. So we need to commit to God's word. So God is upholding all things by the word of his power. The word of his power. I like that scripture says he's upholding. So whatever seems like it's going down in your life, use the word to uphold it. Because nothing is supposed to go down in your life. You know, I know it's cool these days that they say, no, what's going down? You know, what's happening? But nothing's going down in my life, child of God. Everything's going up in my life. Turn to somebody and say, nothing's going down. Everything's going up. Turn to somebody and say, nothing's going down. Everything's going up. Please say this, I uphold all things in my life by God's word. So as children of God, we need to commit to the word of God. I mean, think of the example, you know, sometimes we think these are stories, but imagine, you know, Moses and the children of Israel are coming out of the land of Egypt and they get to a place where it is at the bank, at the river's edge or at the sea's edge of the Red Sea. Just imagine all these ladies, guys, children following him. And Moses stands believing and he says, you know, God said, you know, imagine I'm turning to you, I'm Moses now, and say, God said that he's going to part the Red Sea, guys. Then let's say you're a people of faith and you're like, amen, hallelujah, yeah. We're like, okay, cool. So now let's believe God to part the Red Sea, and he parts the Red Sea. The interesting part is that the miracle is not so much that God parted the Red Sea, but that they walked on dry land and decided to follow Moses. Look, I mean, if I were there, I would be thinking, Moses, you know what we can do, bruh? You can just walk. When you get to the middle, and I'm sure that the water hasn't come back, we'll follow you. Because, child of God, these were a people of faith. They decided to say, because God parted the Red Sea, they had enough faith to walk, looking at the walls of water on the sides. That is what it means, Pastor, to commit to God's word. Because if you are a person who has any amount of intelligence, you might be thinking to yourself, if this water comes back and I am in the middle of this sea, it is over. But because the word of God holds true, we need to keep on walking when God has opened the Red Sea. Because God has said, I will make you prosperous. God has said, I will heal you. So you need to keep walking in the Red Sea. You know, I like fancy stuff. I like interesting stuff. I think if I were to walk in the Red Sea, I would have gone close to the water and test. I'd poke it to say, is this really water? Because, look, the word of God holds true. He told Moses, touch the water with your staff. And he did. And what happened? The Red Sea parted. So you and I have to have faith, child of God, in the word of God, that he parted the Red Sea for me. He parted the Red Sea for you. Keep walking. Keep going. Keep being faithful. Keep being committed. Keep praying. That is what you and I need to do, child of God. But some of us, we hear the word. God says, I parted the Red Sea. But we stand by the bank of the Red Sea and we look at it parted and we say, God, are you sure? Are you sure that this water will not come back on me? God, are you sure that you've healed me? God, are you sure that you've prospered me? God, are you sure that you say I have that job? God, are you sure that my business will do well? Because, child of God, sometimes we doubt the word of God. The Bible says we ought not to doubt the word of God. We need to believe it fully. So when God says it, walk in. If the water comes back, that's God's part. My part is to make sure that I keep walking. The Bible says that, you know, it's such a miracle because they walked on dry land. One would think that, you know what, they should be walking on muddy ground and whatever. But God's miracles are complete. When God does a work, he does a complete, finished work. So we need to commit to God's word to say, I am going to do this. You know, the same thing happened with the Levites, right? When they were supposed to cross the Jordan and they had the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. And God said, walk in. Now with them, the miracle was different. The miracle had changed. God says they should walk in and this river is flooding. I don't know about you if you've ever seen a river flooding. You know, visit the Kruger National Park during a rainy season, and you'll see it needs faith. It needs faith because the Levites walked into that water until I think it was knee deep, scripture says. And that's when it parted, it stopped in a certain area, and they were able to walk through. So, child of God, this shows us that God expects our faith to be ever growing. With Moses and the Israelites, he said to them, Moses, touch the sea, and the sea parted. But with the Levites, you know, they had heard about what happened with Moses and the children of Israel. So he was expecting their faith to be at a better level, at a higher level, because they had seen the miracles of God. So when you and I have seen the faithfulness of God, when he comes through again, he expects your faith to grow. So now these guys walk into the water, and I can imagine the water is knee-deep, and they're thinking, we're going to drown here. But the interesting thing is that they continued to walk in until God made the miracle complete. So as children of God, we need to have that kind of faith in the word of God, that it may seem like nothing is changing. It may seem like nothing is changing, but God's word is truth. It holds true. Turn to somebody and say, it holds true. The third thing and the last thing that we need to do is commit to his body. You and I need to commit to Christ's body. So our faithfulness should be there towards God's body. Look at what Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 to 18 says. It says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him." Verse 17, "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." So in Christ, all things hold together. Verse 18, "And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy." So imagine for a moment that I said to my wife, "Babe, you know what? I want to tell you something. I'm committed to your head, but I'm not committed to your body." You know? Imagine I said to my wife, "Look, babe, you have the best head. That head of yours, it's in another level. It's in a class of its own." But then I said to her, "But your body is not doing well. I don't get along with your..." How do you think my wife would respond to me? I think I wouldn't be standing before you today. Right? I'd be dead, basically. It's like saying to my wife, "I'll do anything for your head, but don't expect the same for your body." You know? And that's what sometimes we do in similar fashion as Christians. We say, "Jesus, you are the head of the church, of the body. I am committed to you. But your body, my commitment is not there." Right? Because sometimes we see the church as being something foreign from Christ. But in similar fashion, with my wife, I can't separate her head and her body. She expects me to love everything. So even with me, I'm expecting her to love my head and my body. Right? I mean, even if my head were big, if it was small, if it had caught, hey, she must love everything. Right? If I have a mukaba, you signed up for the entire package. Right? So, also it is with us, children of God, that we have signed up for the entire package. We cannot say we are committed to Christ and not be committed to his body. What does that mean? That Christ says that if you are committed to him, you must be committed to his church. You must serve in church, basically. You must be committed to his body. You cannot be just one of the people who stands back, who hangs back and say, "I'm committed to you. I will pray. I will fast. My commitment is to the head, but my commitment is not to the body." So Christ expects us to be committed to his church, to be committed to his local church. So what does that mean? Christ expects us to be committed to a live church. Turn to somebody and say, "Your commitment should be to a live church. Your commitment should be to the church." So Christ is expecting us to be committed to his body. Think about that. Think about that. Because as Christians, there is a gospel that goes around now that says that, no, just be committed to Christ. Just be committed to Jesus. But to the body, And it's very interesting because as Christians, we can even say things about the body of Christ. But if we are saying negative things about the body of Christ, we are saying negative things about the head. Because I can't be going around and saying, "No, I don't like my wife's fingers." But then I tell her, "No, I love you, babe." And then when I bump into somebody, "I don't like her ears. But I love her. I like her. But her ears, man. Those fingers, no." It cannot be. As the body of Christ, we need to be committed to his body. Turn to somebody and say, "Commit to the body." Say this, "I commit to Christ and I commit to his body." So that is the expectation that Christ has of you and me, child of God. Because he has given us, not just me, us, a mission in this world. And it is our responsibility to ensure that our commitment is to Christ and to his body. Say this, "I commit to Christ and I commit to his body." So it is important, children of God, that we make sure that we walk in the fullness of what God has for us. God has planted you and I in the church to ensure that his gospel spreads, but more so that it is found in you that you are committed. In the beginning, when we looked at 3 John chapter 1, we talked about the elder who is Gaius, right? Paul wrote to these guys. If you read the whole chapter, you'll see that he speaks to more elders of the church. And he says to them that their, He says that their commitment, their faithfulness to the truth is being testified about. The fact that people are not hearing about the faithfulness to the truth of the church speaks to our commitment. So you and I need to be committed to this truth. We need to be committed to say, Jesus is the only one. He is the Lord. There is no other. The gospel is the gospel truth. There is no other. So, children of God, we need to be careful to say we represent the truth and we are faithful to the truth. Can you say amen? Turn to somebody and say, I am committed to the truth. Turn to somebody else and say, I am committed to the truth. Please, let's stand to our feet even as we pray this together. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Ngogocha. Till next time, God bless.